Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome back to the studios of Radio Sai Prashantiralyam, giving you live broadcast every Thursday in the Asia stream of Radio Sai. As the proceedings in the Sai Kulwant Hall have ended just now with the beautiful Vedic chantings and the blissful bhajans, the devotees are silently lined up to have a close glimpse, a close darshan of our most dearest Lord, Bhagavan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. And it's now time for us to get back to the studios, to the evening session of this Thursday Live, and this is Team Radio Sai's Ganesh inviting you all to the first segment of the evening session, the Radio Sai Vedam Tutor. In today's class, from the last two classes we have been learning the Isavasya Upanishad from Praveena sir. In today's class, we shall be taking up the Shanti Mantra portion of this particular mantra and try to understand the inner significance of this Isavasya Upanishad, as we do not have our Sir Praveena sir this week. We shall be continuing the last few stanzas of the Isavasya Upanishad in the next class, along with the word by word meaning of the entire 18 verses. But today we shall try to understand and get a glimpse of what exactly this Isavasya Upanishad means, and in particular the purport and the essence of the entire Upanishad, by bringing to focus the opening Shanti Mantra. As usual, we shall start the class with the Omkaram and the Ganapati Prarthana. Om Gananaam Tva Ganapati Gum Havamahe Kavim Kavinam Upamashravastamam Jeshtharajam Brahmanam Brahmanaspata Anashrunvan Noti Vissi Dasadanam Prano Devi Saraswati Vaje Virvajini Vati Dhinama Vitriyavatu Ganeshaya Namaha Saraswatyai Namaha Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. As we all learned in the last two classes, that this sacred Isavasya Upanishad or the Isa Upanishad starts with a Shanti Mantra which goes like this. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. So this Isavasya Upanishad or the Isa Upanishad is, as Praveena sir told, one of the most wonderful Upanishads of ancient Indian wisdom, and often called as the gem among all the principal 108 Upanishads. This Upanishad of just 18 verses contains the essence of all knowledge that has been contemplated and experienced by thinkers and philosophers. And one who is interested in the questions of our relationship with the universe will find one of the most interesting and fascinating answers in this Upanishad. Originally written in Sanskrit language, its first verse, which is actually a kind of the declaration mantra recited in the beginning and in the end of the Upanishad, gives the whole essence of the Upanishad. This famous Shanti Mantra, Purnamadah Purnamidam, encompasses within itself the entire message of Vedanta. It unequivocally declares that there is nothing but one non-dual divinity in the entire universe. As Bhagavan clearly tells that everything is a reflection of God, the Atma Swarupa. Today we will try to understand, with Bhagavan's divine grace and blessings, the overall purpose of this particular mantra. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. ओम शांति शांति शांति. ओम दैट इज फुल, दिस इज फुल, दिस फुलनेस हैज बीन प्रोजेक्टेड फ्रॉम दैट फुलनेस. व्हेन दिस फुलनेस मर्जेस इन दैट फुलनेस, ऑल दैट रिमेन्स इज फुलनेस. ओम पीस पीस एंड पीस. नाउ वी शैल स्टार्ट विथ टू क्वेश्चंस. The first question, is there anything from which, if we subtract a part of it, even then, there is no decrease in its value? Oh, can you think of anything like that? The question defies any mathematical logic. The second question, is there anything in which, if we add a part of it, even then, there is no increase in its value? Another question that defies any mathematical logic. In this unique Upanishad, we find the mention of a thing from which, if we subtract the whole of it, even then there will be no decrease in its value. And if we add in it the whole of it, then there will be no increase in its value. Though this statement defies any mathematical logic, yet the beauty of this Upanishad lies in the fact that it tells us that some of the most fundamental truths of life defy any logic. It means that that thing is X, then normally subtracting X from X should take us to zero. That is, X minus X is equal to zero. But this Upanishad says, X minus X is equal to X. How is it possible? Again, normally adding X to X should come up with 2X. That is equal to X plus X is equal to 2X. But Isavasya Upanishad says, X plus X is equal to X. How is this possible? What can be the value of this X? Let us try to find the answer of the above two questions with the help of some analogies. For example, we consider an ocean. It's a huge collection of water. Every year, thousands of tons of water gets evaporated from it by the effect of the sun. However, there appears no significant reduction in sea level. At any given moment, somewhere on earth, it will continue to rain. Every moment, thousands of tons of water is being poured into the ocean by all kinds of big and small rivers, such as the Amazon, the Nile, the Huang Ho, and Ganga, etc. However, there has been no significant increase in the sea level. So, in view of this seemingly constant amount of water in all circumstances, can we say that oceans are the answer of the above questions? Can we say that ocean minus ocean is equal to ocean? Or ocean plus ocean is equal to ocean? Perhaps not. In absolute term, the level of water in the ocean keeps rising and falling depending upon the collective atmospheric changes of rain, evaporation, and the influx of water into the river. Let us take, for example, space. Everything around us comes under this space. In the journey of time, cities emerged, then vanquished. New cities come. People build houses in space, live in them, rebuild them in space, and the biggest of the mountains and the smallest of the creatures all spend their lives in space. Every phenomena of nature, every creation and every destruction takes place in space, and yet the space remains intact. There appears no decrease or increase in its quantity. So, can we say that space is the answer of the above questions? Or can we say space plus space is equal to space, or space minus space is equal to space. Though space seems to be a very probable answer of the above mentioned two questions, it is not the correct answer in absolute terms. If we observe from an absolute term, even the space gets an increase or a decrease in its value. How? A house is built in space. After a very long time, that house will be decayed completely because of wear and tear. And after a long time, there will be no house in that space, and there will again be space in the place of that house. However, it is clear that during the period when the house was in existence, at least some portion of that space was occupied by the house, and for all practical purposes, this particular portion of space could not be used for any other thing. Therefore, though on a very minimum scale, the value of available space decreased for a limited period of time, as this space was utilized by the house. Hence, in absolute terms, the quantity of space increases or decreases depending on the size and quantity of objects that occupy space. In the above mentioned analogies of ocean and the space, we discussed that these two very big entities, ocean and space, which seems to be constant even if some of their parts are added or subtracted from them. However, the Isavasya Upanishad talks of an entity which remains intact even in subtraction or addition of its entire value from it. In this Upanishad, it has been stated that the whole comes out from the whole, yet the whole remains. We should notice that not a small part of this whole entity comes out of it. This entire whole comes out of it, yet the whole remains. And not a small part of whole is added into it. The whole entity is added into it, and yet the whole remains. The whole in its entirety emerges from this fullness and again merges into this. Yet the whole remains intact. Let us make things more clear. If this whole entity is X, then X minus X is equal to X. X plus X is equal to X. The whole universe merges from X, yet the X remains as it is. The whole universe merges into X, yet the X remains as it is. Then, what exactly is this X? This X is nothing but reality or God. It has been said that there is something from which the whole universe emerges and again merges into that, and yet that something remains intact. This wholeness is God or divine consciousness. The Upanishad is pointing towards God or super consciousness or the divinity, whatever we may call it. The whole universe emerges from God or divine consciousness, and yet God or divine consciousness remains intact. And now let us try to understand it from a more scientific angle. In the beginning, there was nothing but this divine consciousness. The Big Bang occurred and universe was born, which later gave rise to the earth and thereafter life on it. In future, at some point of time, the whole universe will again be merged into this divine consciousness. The birth of this universe is named Big Bang, but we do not know what the seemingly death of universe will be called. But ultimately, in the end, there will be again be divine consciousness in its entirety. Then again there will be another Big Bang, another earth, another human race and life on earth. again, in that remote future, this next universe will again merge into the divine consciousness, and this process will continue. It sounds so interesting. If we contemplate over this cyclic play of divine consciousness, an interesting thought comes to mind. If the universe continue to just emerge from and merge into this divine consciousness in the chronicles of time, can we convincingly call our earth and universe the first products of this cycle? If universe emerges into this divine consciousness, and then can anybody guess how many universes have come and gone before our present universe? And how many earths which were part of those previously existed universe have come into existence? There is exactly no way by which we can tell this, because every birth and death of universe completely removes all traces of the past universe. A new universe is a fresh product of divine consciousness. When it will die or merge into the divine consciousness, the divine consciousness will again give birth to a new universe which will have a new earth and a new life. This life will belong to an entirely new universe with no traces of past, and this process will continue again and again. This revelation reminds us of a verse in Bhagavad Gita, in the battleground of Kurukshetra, when Arjuna started trembling seeing his near and dear standing on the other side ready to fight with him. He felt the urge to quit and fled away from the war front. At this juncture, Lord Krishna, who was his charioteer, says to him, "O Arjuna, there was never a time when you were not there. There was never a time when I or your near and dears standing on the opposite side were not there. And in future also, there will never be a time when you, I, or these near and dears of yours will not be there." In entire Gita, Krishna only tries to convince Arjuna about this supreme reality, about this play of divine consciousness. Now we may get two questions which arise in our mind. One, if the whole universe emanate from the supreme consciousness and again merge into it, then where is this supreme consciousness? Where does this supreme consciousness reside? At a place outside this universe? There must be some location of this supreme consciousness from which this entire universe comes out and merges back into. Second question. It has been said that the wholeness comes out of wholeness, yet the wholeness remains intact. When this such a large universe emerges from this supreme consciousness, how can this supreme consciousness remain the same? There must be some decline in its value. It seems practical and logical from a mathematical point of view. The above two questions are very, very natural to ordinary minds like us, which is not capable to see them from a cosmic perspective. The fact is that we as human beings are habitual of comprehending a phenomena from our own limited perspective. So normally, when we subtract or add a part of something from or into it, its value decreases or increases. But these things, the process of addition or subtraction, happens in a plane of reference which we are able to observe from our senses. Always the addition or subtraction takes place in a third plane. Whenever there is a decrease or increase in the value of something, as a result of removing or adding a part from or to it, this incident, which is the addition or subtraction, takes place in a surrounding which is not a part of this incident. For example, suppose in a room, a tub full of water is placed. Adding some water into the tub or removing some water from the tub results into an increase or decrease in the total quantity of water. The thing to note here is that this incident of adding or removal from the tub takes place in tub, which is not a part of this change in quantity of water. Moreover, this tub is placed in a room which is not a part of it. On a broader level, the intake of water into the ocean and evaporation of it from heat results in the total quantity of water, but this whole incident takes place in space, which is not a part of this incident. Taking example of space, if a house is built on a particular space, then the presence of this house on that place results in a decrease in the quantity of total space available. However, this decrease in space occurred in the surrounding of the rest of the space, which is not a part of it. When we consider the case of supreme consciousness from which the whole universe emerges, it has to be taken into account that this emanating of universe from supreme consciousness and its eventual merger into it does not take place in a surrounding which is not a part of it. It simply means that the universe itself is a manifestation of that supreme consciousness, and when this universe emerges from this supreme consciousness, a part of this consciousness itself becomes visible in the form of the universe. But there is no decrease in the value of this consciousness because there is no surrounding outside in which this incident takes place. This supreme consciousness is everywhere. It is the formless foundation of all, pervaded in every particle of the universe, and there is no location where it is not present. When the universe merges into it and emanates from it, in actuality, the supreme consciousness just manifests itself as a universe. Thus, the whole value of consciousness remains intact, as there is no surrounding where it is not present. From absolute, if an absolute emerges, the absolute remains, as there is nothing beyond the absolute. All those who meditate can experience the presence of this supreme consciousness in them. The entire world, the whole universe, and all its activities are the continuous play of this supreme consciousness in the eternal chronicles of time. It's a play of God. The universe will continue to be born and die. And earth and planets like earth had existed in the past and will continue to flourish in future. Since from a human perspective, according to which we have a limited period of time on earth in which we all see childhood, youth and old age, there is a measurement of happening known as time. And as there has been a particular duration in terms of time between birth and death of universe. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Let there be peace, peace and peace. And the recitation of peace chant is the natural consequence of this understanding. If there is a cyclic play of supreme consciousness that is going on, then what is our place in this play? On this cosmic level, we are just like waves of the ocean. Waves emerge and merge into the ocean. This play continues and the ocean remains intact as it is. So there is no need for panic, tensions or any kind of ill thinking. If this cosmic scale, in this cosmic scale, everything belongs to that supreme consciousness. Everything manifests from it and ultimately merges in it. Contemplating on this truth, we feel it from the perspective of our own life experiences. And then there will be no reason for our sorrows. Let there be calm. We accept the function of this cosmic game and learn to align our lives with this universal choreographer, Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba. Let there be peace, peace and peace. So, brothers and sisters, dear listeners, today we come to an end to this week's Radio Sai Vedam Tutor, wherein we learnt the essence of this sacred Upanishad, the Isavasya Upanishad, taking up only the first stanza, the Shanti Mantra, which comes in the beginning and the end of this Upanishad. In the coming class, we shall be back with Praveena sir to complete the proceedings of the Isavasya Upanishad with the learning of the remaining two stanzas and then go into the meaning of the Upanishad as such. So we shall conclude today's class with the Kshama Prarthana Mantram.
Yadakshara pada prashtam matra heenam tu yad bhavet tat sarvam kshamyatam deva narayana namostute visargabindu matrani pada padaksharani cha nyunani cha triktani kshamasvasa ishvara aparada sahasrani kriyante harnishanmaya dasoimiti mahamatva kshamasvasa ishvara anyadha sharanam nasti tvameva sharanam mama tasmat karmya bhavena raksha raksha sai ishvara harihi om tat sat sri sai ishvara arpanamastu.
And we conclude today's class with a beautiful song glorifying our dearest Lord as the Veda Purusha, after which we'll have Brother Bishu taking up the Radio Sai Bhajan classroom. Sai Ram and happy listening. Over to Brother Bishu after this beautiful song.
Sai Premaye Veda Saramu.
వేదవాణి సకల జనులకు దారి చూపే దీపము వేద సారమే విశ్వమంతటికి జీవనాధారము
వేదవాణి సకల జనులకు దారి చూపే దీపము
సృష్టికి మూలము జనవాహినికిది తెలుపగా ప్రణవము వేదము సృష్టికి మూలము జనవాహినికిది తెలుపగా
సోమకాసురుని సంహరించి ఇల వేద రాసి ధరిచేచగా సంహరించి ఇల వేద రాసి ధరిచేచగా
అవతరించినాము స్వామి అవతరించినాము అవతరించినాము స్వామి అవతరించినాము
వేద శాఖలే తో బుట్టు రామునిగా ప్రభవించినావు
వేద శాఖలే తో బుట్టువులుగా రామునిగా ప్రభవించినావు
యాగముగాచి
ఋషులను బ్రోచి దానవులను పరిమార్చినావు. యాగముగాచి ఋషులను బ్రోచి దానవులను పరిమార్చినావు.
గోపబాలునిగా అసురులే దృంచి నీ భక్తులే రక్షించినావు.
గోపబాలునిగా అసురులే దృంచి నీ భక్తులే రక్షించినావు.